called Obamacare. But for millions of everyday Americans, health coverage isn't about politics. It's a matter of life and death.
News and analysis at townhall.com.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
And hello once again. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of the show. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are analog, living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and the tech news you can use. And brought to you in Northern California each and every week by Advanced Automotive of Reading. But we are going international, World Wide Web, possibly with this very episode. I'm learning the intricacies of getting a program onto iTunes, and it's a bit involved.
If nothing else, it's available elsewhere.
Yes,
worldwide.
It is also on KCNR1460.com. As well as on the Boomer Tech Radio website, along with our show notes and things like that. Now, the iTunes show should point to our website. I'm still working out all the details of that. But for obvious reasons, iTunes doesn't just want anybody to throw any old piece of crud onto their servers. You have to kind of pass muster before you can get listed on iTunes. You have to jump through a lot of hoops.
Which has always been one of Apple's selling points, if you will, that their apps are relatively virus-free and, you know, they don't have
hidden code. They have to pass a lot of
exactly, scrutiny and be safe. Not that they haven't had their problems.
Yeah. Now, I am going to lead off here with, I have been less than kind over the duration of this show to AT&T. With good reason.
With a less than satisfactory customer experience, as our friend Nick Webb would say.
We live a little bit outside the city limits of our town, Redding, California. And the only internet service that we could get was DSL. Now, those of you who are still struggling with DSL, you know just what a pain it is.
To hear you say that is amazing, because at one time the conversation was, what? You don't have DSL yet? How do you live?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I mean, it was state-of-the-art fancy stuff. Yeah, now it's like, meh, that, ooh, what a dog, right? It shows you how quickly these things change and how much they change.
Yeah, there was a time when 3 to 6 megabits per second was perfectly adequate.
Styling, man.
But when you're trying to
living the dream,
when you're trying to watch high speed stuff on Netflix, you know, high quality stuff on Netflix, 3 to 6 megs just does not make the cut.
No, it's all those ads that come along with the cat videos that you just want to watch the video, but no. The page takes forever to load because of all the stinking ads that are on there.
Well, that and the infrastructure where we live is, face it, 50 or 60 years old piece, twisted copper wires on a pole that have been exposed to the elements. And just from downtown out to our location, trying to get a digital signal that far, there's so much noise because a DSL signal sits on top of your voice telephone line. And in fact, you have to have special filters that you install on your telephones to get the noise out of the data signal, or out of the when you're making a phone call.
But we digress.
We digress a little bit here. But we decided that we were getting frustrated with endless buffering of all of our movies. So we actually upgraded, switched off our DSL, and went with a wireless service from netsusa.net, and they did a fabulous job. They came out and put a little antenna on our roof, pointed it at a nearby mountaintop site, and if you're just out of reach of high-speed internet, this is an option for a lot of people, but you have to be visually able to see the mountaintop. There's a couple of services that do that.
It's a line of sight.
Sort of
like your television.
If you can see a mountain with a bunch of antennas on it, give a call to some of these services. There's Compare Services, NetsUSA, a couple others here in this area, and just about anywhere now, that use a short-haul wireless system to provide internet, and we got pretty decent speed out of it. We were up around 10 megabits per second, which is, makes movie watching possible.
The service was no problem.
Yeah. Well, lo and behold, finally, AT&T decided to offer their U-verse service down our street. Now, we knew it was passing the end of our street. We're about a mile off of the main road. It makes it sound like we're somewhere out in...
Sticks.
But if you were just outside the limit, you really might as well be out somewhere in Slobovia.
Well, if you choose to live a little more rural location, let's put it that way.
Actually, Slobovia probably has better internet service than we do.
They do, yeah. I'm sure.
Anyway, we were informed that now we could sign up for relatively high-speed internet. Still doesn't break that 25 megabits per second barrier that is really the definition of broadband. But it was better than what we had before and was a little bit better than the wireless service. Plus, Brenda, and you can, what you found out is that we could bundle together a voice over IP service along with our internet and come out ahead, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Certainly was way cheaper to do that than it was to hold the NetsUSA internet access and the phone line, long story short.
Yeah.
So it made great deal of fiscal sense to combine and take advantage of the even faster speeds, if you will, that AT&T was offering.
However, when you switch over to a voice over IP system, let's face it, twisted pair copper, there isn't a lot to go wrong with it. You know, you pick it. There's in historically, the phone company had a gigantic set of batteries down at the central office, and they ran the phone line. And the whole thing about our phone systems here is that they are backwards compatible. You could take a phone that was built in the 1940s, attach it to a dial tone line, and it would work.
It
was powered via the phone line. Well, AT&T and other phone companies want to get away from that because maintaining those endless miles of copper is very labor-intensive. And a lot of that copper infrastructure has been allowed to decay over the years in favor of fiber, which will carry multiple streams of data, and other wireless services and things like that. So U-verse is AT&T's fiber system along a backbone, and then the last distance, the last link to your house is done over copper. So that's the service we're on now. What we discovered, though, is that when you give up those copper wires in favor of a high-speed internet voice over IP system, what happens when something breaks up the line? And this was the case a week ago.
You have no phone.
Yeah, you have no phone. So you can't call to report that you have a problem with your phone.
This is what's known as a tight bureaucratic circle.
We did discover, and Mr. Worf, I'm going to have to put you on silence. That was my phone sounding off there. We forgot to turn off our phones. The devices. Anyway, let me switch off my phone there real quick. That was one of the problems that we had with our phones, of course, out at our location, is that we're just out of reach of the nearest Verizon tower. If you go to the corner of our lawn and you stand on one foot and do a Statue of Liberty thing, you can kind of get a cell phone signal.
I noticed that your mixed plaid clothing seemed to assist.
Yeah, I think so.
I should have taken a picture of that. It was rather amusing.
So I'm out there. It's just after it rained. I'm out standing on the lawn in my bathrobe, in my plaid flannel okay.
Cozy pants.
They're not, yeah, cozy pants. They weren't jammies, I swear. on my iPad, reporting the trouble.
Leisure wear.
reporting the trouble to AT&T through our Verizon connection so that AT&T could come fix a phone. And it turned out it wasn't just us. Mm-hmm. When we drove into town later in the day, there was like a fleet of AT&T guys out there. It was amazing.
And then we stopped to talk to them, and they said they didn't know what was wrong. Yeah. That's what they were there for, is to figure it out.
Yeah, but they had but by the time we got home, everything had come back to life.
And their response was very quick. And the online report that you filed, as I recall, it said, we'll look into it between this time and this time, and they were on it.
I got a call from the tech within 2 hours of making the report, which this day and age ain't bad.
Nope. You know, you're not sure when you put this faceless, nameless type report on a website if anybody's really paying attention. Yeah,
you're putting a note in a bottle and throwing it in the ocean.
That's what it feels like, you know. Put it in a balloon and launch the balloon, you know. It's one of those things. So they get points for doing that.
And good rapid response and a very large response. There must have been 6 trucks out there at one point.
By the way, voice over IP is voice over internet protocol, correct?
Yes, VoIP.
Yeah, VoIP. It's often referred to. And one of the things that if you're not familiar with VoIP that you will experience is that when you dial a number, there is a pause. There's quite a pause between when you finish dialing and it starts to connect and ring on the other end. And that's just something you have to get used to. Normally, in a wired phone or, you know, a traditional hardwired phone into your house,
your finger's not even off the last button.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's ringing, and it'll connect directly very quickly. But because this has to take a more circuitous route, if you will, there are a few number of relay points, I'm sure, that it has to go through, and it has to connect with something on the other end.
Yeah.
And so it takes a while. So it's sort of like Googling a web page. It takes a moment before you get hits, and then so on and so forth. So that's just one thing to be familiar with. However, I remember the first voice over IP experience that I had, there was a delay. It was not unlike talking to someone in Alaska in the 90s. That was the satellite connections where you talk for a while, they talk for a while, you talk for a while. Because you can't, it's not full duplex, and you can't over talk the person.
There's just enough of a delay to mess you up.
Exactly. There were delays in that system. And so that was the experience I had with the first voice over IP system.
Yeah,
and
that,
so
that was like Vonage and Magic Jack and all that
those.
Stuff.
And if I said, I'm not so sure.
Early Skype.
Did I want to go with VoIP? Now you can't tell the difference. In fact, the audio quality is crystal clear.
Yeah. And your regular phone plugs into the device that the AT&T people come out and install. If you sign up for UVerse, they bring out a box, and they will actually – this guy actually ran fresh wire from our access point to where the box was, because the old wire in the house was, you know
– of dubious vintage.
It's been rolled up and sent to the Smithsonian.
Who knows of its veracity?
But he ran what's called a Category 5 wire from our box back to where my office, where the modem is.
Right.
And the sound quality is absolutely stellar.
Yeah, it's very good.
Works real good with our Panasonic wireless phone system. So
we're very pleased with the technicians. They did a good job that way. It was interesting to be out of a phone and out of internet connection. You don't really realize how much of that stuff you actually end up doing. Oh, I'll just look that up, or I'll just check my social media, send a message. Oh, man, I can't do anything. You know, I had it forced me to read a book.
Yeah, we were unintentionally, we watched over-the-air TV.
Yeah.
Which, if you haven't done that
that
lately.
That was fun, actually.
If you haven't done that lately, there's actually a gazillion channels on over-the-air TV that you can pick up really, really cheap with any smart TV has still got that F connector on the back. And actually, the picture quality on over-the-air is better than what you get through the internet, and the reason is it's not compressed.
Right. And they does require the digital antenna, has to be aimed.
It requires an antenna that's of good quality.
Right.
There is no such thing as a, quote, digital antenna.
Well,
there
that's true.
Yeah, there are antennas that are optimized for those frequencies.
Yeah, that's what I meant, is one that is specially designed for the digital signals, is what I meant.
But you can get a decent over-the-air antenna that is a very unobtrusive footprint. There's indoor antennas if you're close enough to the transmitter site. If you're a little bit further out and you don't have those CCNR restrictions that say, oh, no, you can't have anything on your roof, on them, you can actually get a pretty good directional antenna that'll pick up fantastic-looking pictures from the from the TV stations. And if you want to put, you know, it's like our local PBS station actually has three sub-channels.
Right.
All high digital quality.
Right.
So there's a lot to watch. It was fun looking at all the old 1970s series. What did be 70s and 80s and MacGyver. We were watching an episode of MacGyver.
About peed my pants. That was so funny.
Richard Dean Anderson looking pretty young there.
Bad science in there too. It's like, oh my gosh. Some okay science and some really bad science.
But it's good to kind of get back to the basics. But
watching Andy Griffith.
Yeah, Andy Griffith. But there must be 30 some odd over the air channels right here in our area where when I grew up it was three.
We had two when I was really little. And then the PBS station came. That was like, wow, well, now we got three channels, man.
So one of the things that having a little more bandwidth has allowed us to do, and the notoriety of this small but growing radio show, after 7 years, we're kind of starting to get a little bit of a footprint out there, is we actually have some manufacturers contacting us to say, hey, you guys want to check out our stuff? So we made a contact down at the CES show in Las Vegas that we talked endlessly about. And one of the companies we talked to was Nexia. Now, Nexia is a subsidiary of Ingersoll Rand. Hmm. Now, if you're a civilian-type person, that name won't mean much to you. But if you're into industrial-type stuff, Ingersoll Rand is one of the big players in control systems. In fact, they also do farm machinery, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, they do generators. You often see Ingersoll Rand generators that contractors tow around with them. And I've also seen them at airports.
Yeah. But they're moving into the home control, home automation field. So this isn't your little Chinese camera company. These guys have a pretty good reputation to uphold.
Yeah, they have a lot of experience with a lot of these things too. And I mean, they have everything from security systems to open and close your blinds, turn lights on and off, and these are all programmable things. It can connect into your security system and that sort of thing, or provide a level of security.
So what Nexia is providing is actually an integrated home automation system where you have the cameras can communicate with the lights. You can rig these cameras so that they will actually send a signal to your outdoor lighting to pop them on when they detect motion. So Nexia sent us a couple of their WCP series of internet connected cameras. And actually, we got to evaluate them. We've been playing with them for about a week, so we want to talk a little bit about those here. The cameras arrived last week, and I think I talked about them on the air. They were still in the box, so I took an afternoon. Now, one thing about any of these products, like the internet-connected cameras, you got to read the instructions. I imagine they've gotten more than a few of these back because, you know, Joe, I know everything. Took them out of the box, put them on the wall, and said, it doesn't work, and sent it back.
It's not a plug-and-play system. It's right. A little more sophisticated than that. However, I have never seen you work with an electronic device that does not eventually reveal its secrets to you because you haven't met one that you can't figure out yet.
Yeah. So these cameras, they sent us one indoor and one outdoor camera, which you first, when you go to set them up, you take them out of the box. And the first thing it says on the instructions, do not plug in Ethernet or power until instructed during the process. Well, you say, wait a minute, these are supposed to be wireless cameras. What's up with that? Stay with me here. The first thing you do is, as you're going through the instructions, is you get a number off the camera and you write that down. Then you go on, then you have to plug the camera directly into your internet router. Now, most internet routers have at least a couple of extra plugs on the back for what's called an Ethernet cable. Now, an Ethernet cable, in case you've really been living in a cave, looks like a oversized telephone type plug. It's a clear plastic 8-pin plug with a little tab on top that snaps into the plug on the back of your router.
Most people would be very familiar with these in the office setting as
right.
called a network cable,
network
or
cable,
computer cable,
or Ethernet cable,
or Ethernet cable, right? But most people call them computer cables or network cables.
And the fancy name for it would be an RJ45.
There you go. As opposed to an RJ11,
yes,
which is your telephone one, right?
Correct, a 4-pin, 4 or 6-pin telephone plug.
I remember that.
So you have most. You can pick these up for like $1 at the electronics store.
They're very affordable.
You should, if you've had any number of electronic devices that you've bought in the last several years, you should have a couple of these laying around. You connect the your router to the camera and power it up. Then you go to the website, and what happens when you plug this thing in is that it goes and it basically calls the mothership and says, here I am. You log into Nexia. They have a fairly straightforward sign-up process. And the thing is, you don't have to pay anything unless you want some advanced services. So I went ahead and signed up for an account. The camera was updated with the latest software. Then on the next step, I decided I wanted to plug it into my wireless network. So while it was plugged into the router, I gave it the information to find my wireless network. Now, if you're going to do a Wi-Fi wireless anything, the first thing you want to make sure is that your router's firewall is up and you are not using the default passwords to get into it. Now, our AT&T Universe system has a unique identifier for each router. However, this was a bad habit that D-Link and a couple of the other companies got into. In order to save time, every one of their routers leaving the factory had the exact same password and user code to get into their guts.
So if you didn't change it when you got it,
you were
hackable.
Your pants were down, baby. Anyway, once you have established that the camera is now on your wireless network, and it's not a momentary process. It'll take you set aside about an hour to set up a couple of these cameras. Once you've got them hooked up, you can set them. We have one watching our driveway area, and one watching the interior entryway. A couple of observations about the Nexia cameras. First of all, lag. Because these are feeding the pictures up to the servers at Nexus and then coming back to either your PC or the app on your phone, tablet, it's very cross-platform, there's a considerable delay. We discovered that the delay between something happening in front of the camera and actually being able to see the image on the device we were watching on was upwards of 15 to 30 seconds, depending on probably network traffic. And the frame rate was way down. I figure we were getting between two to five frames per second, and in some cases it would freeze up. So you're not going to get real-time 1080 high-speed motion, especially if you have a reasonably slow connection. Now, if you're on one of those 100 megabit per second fiber optic connections, you're going to get a lot better response out of this thing. But for just being able to quickly take a look at your house, because the cameras can be set up in such a way that when they detect motion, they will send you an alert. You can get you can respond to that and see what's going on. And I've got to tell Brenda how to install the app on her phone as well so she can peek at the house.
I thought, when we were talking about this, that you would get a higher sampling rate, frame rate of sampling, if you subscribe to their service.
I'm not sure on that. And I'm not sure if you want to do things like record action and have it there stored on their servers. There's different packages you can buy, and I don't yet have all the pricing on that. We're going to do a follow-up report on these Nexia cameras.
Because literally somebody could walk up take the thing off and whatever, and you would never have it
the
captured.
Lag
with the,
would
the
never
lag,
catch
and,
them,
yeah, the frame rate is slow.
So we'll have to ask the folks at Nexia, do you get a better frame rate if you sign up for the service?
Or what? How can you get a better frame rate?
Right now there is time for somebody who would approach from the side to snatch the camera off the wall, and they would never be caught on film. So that's one of the concerns I might have. Also, I have a lot of concerns about anything that ties into the Internet of Things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back from the break here, and I got to turn around and touch a button because I didn't plan for this.
This is, that's
this
what
is
you
somewhat
get
live radio
for being your own producer.
I am my own producer, yes, on KCNR 1460 and Boomer Tech Radio.
Story sleuther,
indeed.
Yeah, host,
the man for everything.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll talk about Internet of Things and why would you want to connect your dryer to the internet. That and more on Boomer Tech, next.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing, Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at WeThePeopleRadio.us. We the People, brought to you by Powerhouse Solar of Reading, Sundays at noon on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, and in 2000 I opened the House of Conscious Living Yoga. We offer a variety of styles attending to the needs of all students. Our faculty consists of yoga therapists and health professionals. Conscious Living Yoga meets each student right where they are, and safety is always a priority. We offer weekly classes, class series, and workshops in addition to private sessions. Visit ConsciousLivingYoga.com for the online schedule, costs, and other interesting information.
Simpson University will prepare you to be a teacher in just 12 months. Start summer, fall, or spring and fill the need for the next generation of educators. Many Simpson students have landed teaching jobs before completing their credential program. We'll show you how you can accomplish this and receive an instructional iPad too. Simpson University offers scholarships, grants, and financial aid to help you achieve your educational goals. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON or go online to simpsonu.edu/credential for more details.
The Shasta County Grand Jury is now accepting applications. The Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. The Shasta County Grand Jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities around. Applications are now being accepted. To apply and get details, go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
If you don't ask the tough questions, who will? Apply now.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland. Join us Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Every week, Boomer Tech Radio brings you goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and the tech news that you can use. Our theme music, composed and performed by George Wood, it's called 8-Bit Junkie and is available via the PodSafe Music Network. The music is used by permission. Well, last week we ended up going out shopping for major appliances. By the way, there's a great place up here. If you're listening to the show in the North State, we heartily recommend the folks at Appliances Direct on South 273, South Market Street. They do a great job. The guy walked us through. We didn't want a super fancy washer, and we also discovered a little interesting little fact about, and I've heard this before, about, you know, LG and Samsung make pretty decent phones.
Yeah, their electronics are great.
Yeah, the electronics are great. And the companies rely on that brand comfort.
Right. That recognition, loyalty, yeah. Impression,
that, yeah, the impression of those brand names, you know, life's good. And Samsung, although Samsung not so much, last thing you'd want is a battery-powered dryer, expect.
Well, it's not only that. They took a beating for their washers, you know, falling apart.
Yes, the parts that go, and I've asked a repair person about this, and we asked this, Bob down at Appliances Direct, and he says, well, you may notice you don't see any Samsungs or LGs here. And the reason is that they simply, it's not that they're necessarily that bad, but when they break, getting the spare parts to fix them.
Sometimes take months.
Yes. Yeah, you might be months without your major appliance.
Weeks at best, and not unusual to have it be months. So what he told us is that young folks are coming in that are, you know, fans of LG or Samsung, and it has that brand recognition, and they want to buy one of these appliances because, after all, it's Samsung, it's LG, isn't it? Yeah. And it's kind of like, shy away from their major appliances. So the, you know, the 27-year-old dryer just isn't worth fixing anymore.
Yeah,
it's kind of worn out. And the washing machine has a personality, too, and has a has a design feature. they always call these things features, right?
Yeah.
That makes its demise inevitable. It's not worth fixing again. So we decided, well, let's go take a look at a new set. After all, it's been forever since I've bought those. And let's see what's out there. Mm-hmm. My first impression is, you know, physically, they're a lot tinnier.
Yeah.
And I just love the social engineering part that they go through.
Oh, those waters.
When you look at the controls, it looks like you have the old style mechanical analog controls, but not really. The dials actually hook to a computer or electronic controls, right? So if your computer board goes bad, and it doesn't even have to be internet compatible or whatever, you still have to replace that portion of it. And they're just obviously not designed for the longevity that appliances were designed for in the past. You get 30, 40 years out
planned
of something.
Obsolescence.
Yes, it is planned obsolescence. And so it's interesting, you can't have a true hot water wash anymore.
Yeah.
These are energy specifications. They're not unique to California, although, you know, you would suspect that first in California, but these are federal regulations. And this is, you know, to help save energy and save our water and all this kind of
reduce
stuff.
Reduce your carbon footprint.
Which is not, you know, these are not bad things per se. But when it's forced upon you, you don't have any choice. It's somewhat annoying in my book.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't pick the design of these things. It's done for you. So that's my rant about modern day appliances with all of that. But you've discovered other things about
this.
Yes.
Well, and I want to throw in as an aside here, if you are in the market for a new washer-dryer combo, it is very tempting to, and what they're pushing at the stores, of course, are the is the front loaders. Because they do, under the right circumstances, do a more efficient job of cleaning the clothes.
And these are the big, like the big ones you see in laundromats. I mean, they're not that big, but it's that style with the big glass door and they spin your clothes to almost dry.
Yeah. Two problems, however. First of all, you have to have them on an absolutely solid floor. We discovered the hard way that if you have a front-loading washer, because of how fast it spins, I did not know that the standard top-loading washer spins at about 700 RPM, but a front-loader spins at almost twice that speed, which means that it shakes like mad, and if it's on an uneven surface, the vibrations will eventually start tearing up the washer.
Right. They're very picky about being on balance and having a firm surface to be against. So we have a raised foundation in our house, which has some give and take in it as the age of the house, for one thing. And the design, we did not know that. Now, it's not that all raised foundations are going to have this problem. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
It's that if your floor is a little squeaky and a little movable, you might want to do something about that before you put a front loader in. But I, you know, my back kind of doesn't like front loaders anyway.
Another thing about front loaders is that you have to be absolutely meticulous about taking care of them or they stink.
Yes, and
that you get stuff growing on the big gasket that keeps the door from leaking.
Yep, and then people complain about that, too. And eventually there are gaskets in there that will wear out and they will leak.
Yeah.
My mom just had that experience. With her front loader, it wasn't the gasket of the door. It was the gasket of the drum against the cabinet, if you will, that it's in. So that was pricey to fix. Yeah. Cheaper than a new washer. Yeah.
Now, another thing, and then we heard about this from the appliance guy, the new ones, you know, you like to kind of, you know, you don't want to be old-fashioned. You want to be left behind. But the new washers that don't have the agitator in the middle, they turn the clothes
loaders
over. Yeah, the top loaders that don't have an agitator, they actually try to turn the clothes by using water jets. And the guy at the appliance store, Bob at the appliance store, said they're just not as efficient. They look neat, and they look like you can put a bunch of stuff in there.
Right, but they don't clean the clothes
as well. They don't clean as well, so. Anyway, sometimes the proven a number two pencil has never been improved upon.
Right. So we bit the bullet and bought modern day appliances, but I was really glad that, you know, I wasn't forced to buy a bunch of fancy schmancy controls just to get some basics, and that it wasn't one of these where, you know, oh, buy this, you need your appliances plugged into the internet.
Yes.
No, I don't.
As a matter of fact, GE is announcing a connected dryer. Now, why in the world would you want to connect your dryer to the internet?
Good question, I'd say.
Well, pushy reminders to clean your filter are one thing, but how about a smart dryer that shops for supplies by itself? Well, that's exactly what GE has just done on a select group of their products. The company's Wi-Fi-enabled clothes dryer can harness Amazon's Dash online ordering system to request refills on items that are running low, i.e., it can order its own dryer sheets. Now,
wow.
Now there are those who say that has got to be the height of laziness. But I think
there's those that would say that's the height of luxury too.
We've all gone to set in a load and reached in the box and scritch, scritch. Uh-oh, no sheets. Well, you know, we gave up on dryer sheets anyway, but that's another whole story.
That is a whole nother story.
Yeah. Things like jet dry for the dishwasher, dryer sheets, things like that. When you're really, really busy, yes, it's easy to run out, and it's another level of complexity, though. Plus, is the machine reporting how many times you're running it and all that? Who is accessing that data? Anytime you have Internet of Things connected, there are some privacy concerns.
I want to know if it ever goes through a firmware update right when you want to dry a load and you can't get the dryer to run because it's
only
going through
Bill Gates,
software
only
update.
Only if Microsoft did it.
Well, I don't know. My Amazon Kindle did that. Well, that's because they hadn't had it connected in a long time.
Of course, one of the big things, one of the big novel things at CES was the Samsung refrigerator with a 22-inch flat screen embedded in the door.
In the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The idea was that it would serve as a family whiteboard and also be able to catch up on the news and stuff while you were working in the kitchen. But it's another thing to break.
Yep. And we had quite the discussion about ice makers and refrigerator doors with the appliance salesman,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that door must have been a foot thick. It was like a bang ball.
It's crazy. And they go wrong.
And not to
they
be
go out, bad. Not, they go rogue.
Not to be outdone. Whirlpool has a Wi-Fi connected microwave that sends a notification to your phone when the food is ready.
Usually I'm within 6 feet of the microwave when the food is ready.
That's right. The new oven will send push notification to your smartphone when your meal is finished, according to documents the company filed this week with the Federal Communications Commission. The built-in Wi-Fi will also, okay, how could this possibly go wrong, will also let you start the microwave from your phone.
Okay, so that's going to have the same problems as dialing in. Instead of 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you put 23 minutes in, and whatever was in there, well, let's say it probably won't make it that long because it's torched off the microwave because it catches on fire.
For those who cannot be bothered to read this line of products, which includes the microwave, two ranges, and a double wall oven, will work with Whirlpool's new scan to cook feature. With this feature, you use your device's camera to scan the barcode of packaged foods, and the app will find the cooking instructions from the data place just in case you're too damn lazy to read the label.
Oh, my goodness. That's the first I've heard of this. I'm sorry. I don't mean to mock that, but seriously? Isn't that kind of like taking convenience food too far? Not to, you know, QR codes or whatever. Why not just have the robotic chef?
Why not just have Rosie do the cooking
Yes, exactly.
For you.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy smokes.
Costco, look out.
Yeah, Whirlpool is the world's largest appliance manufacturer. They have been ambitious at adding connectivity to its products. They also have pointed out that many of the smart appliances will work with the Amazon voice-activated digital assistant known variously as Echo, Alexa, Hey You. I don't think you can respond to Hey You, but ours, ours responds to the C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R word.
Yes.
Just like on the Enterprise. But don't ask it for tea, Earl Grey hot.
Well, you can. It'll give you an answer.
It gives you a very snarky answer.
Yes. Well, no, it gives a very practical answer, but it's sort of snarky.
Also, don't ask her to open the pod bay doors. So,
actually, you can. It's great fun.
Yeah. Just because you can do some of this stuff, why you have to wonder. And this is a tech show.
You know,
but sometimes
they
go a bit far.
Okay, we're old school, right? I mean, you know, we're boomers, so we grew up with the analog everything. And I suspect that in houses 20 years from now, not even that long, 10 years from now, new homes.
We'll have Jarvis or his
descendants. This stuff is built in. It's standard. It's the thing. And, you know, how did you ever survive without it? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. Of course, the year that my brother and I did the Christmas turkey and the bottom element of the oven burned out, it would have been handy to have a bit of an AI in the oven that said, you know what, your bottom burner is burned out. That would be nice. Have some sort of little check system in there that says, you know, operations normal.
Mm-hmm.
And or if something's busted, it's like, that heating element's not working. That would have been nice to know.
Yeah, that would have been nice. So all of this takes bandwidth. All this stuff takes bandwidth. And we're going back. By the way, if you want to follow along on some of the stories that we cover here on Boomer Tech Radio, you can, via your PC or on your device, go to Flipboard, either get the app or go to flipboard.com, whereupon if you subscribe to the Boomer Tech Radio magazine, you'll see a lot of the stories that we cover right here on this show. It is definitely the source that we mine for story ideas. News out that the new chairman of the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, wants to make good on the promise that was that's been made for several administrations now of wider rollout of broadband communications. Because the big problem with a lot of this stuff is the more junk we put on the web, the more cluttered it gets and the more it slows down. Now, companies have been fairly reluctant to invest in the infrastructure to make true high-speed communications a reality, because we're kind of waiting for the government to foot the bill for it. And the government is saying, no, we want private enterprise to foot the bill. And the result is that the U.S., in terms of our connectivity, is way down the list of technology countries in terms of what we have available to the average citizen. Well, the new chairman wants to kind of change all that.
Right. And his point of view is that our wireless and broadband wired and wireless broadband networks are very critical to our nation's infrastructure, and I have to agree with them on that.
Yes.
Because countries that did not have the wired and wireless comes along, you know, you have better cell phone service in the middle of nowhere in some of these places than you do in the United States. And it's all, I'm sure, a tiff about who's going to pay for the infrastructure. I'm sure that's part of it.
Right.
But it's something that needs to be upgraded here for sure.
I think that private industry needs to be at the table and the government needs to be
absolutely
at the table. And there's talk about part of the funding for this comes out of the Universal Lifeline Access Fund. Now, that's that, what is it, like a buck and a half you pay on your phone bill for Universal Lifeline Access?
But yeah. Part of this article is interesting in that the chairman of the FCC is encouraging the administration to include this support of wired or broadband in general, broadband networks, in funding for infrastructure. And I think it's kind of interesting that it's not already being considered in there. And so, you know, good luck with that. This is an ongoing thing. You know, the government always seems to be behind a little bit in its adoption of technology, and I understand why. There's, you know, you have to security and
bureaucratic
this or that,
inertia,
and it's just it's just exactly. You've got a huge machine, and making changes in it just takes a while. So, you know, that part's understandable, but hopefully, major infrastructure support of broadband will be included in the consideration of future budgets. Because absolutely, this is something that government can play a significant role in, and is an appropriate activity of government to do.
Now, he's also urging Congress to include a proposal for gigabit opportunity zones, that's tax incentives to broadband providers building in low-income neighborhoods. Now, I'm fine with that up to a point, but I also want to see incentives for economic development zones for these incubators, such as what we're trying to have up here in Northern California, a place where startup companies can access ultra-high-speed internet.
Right.
Because that is the key to being competitive out there and being able to exchange data very, very quickly.
Absolutely.
Being able to tap into the mainstream of that, of to use the archaic term, the information superhighway. Right.
Well,
now, we don't have much of an on-ramp here.
More and more things are, it's more like a potholed gravel road with washboards. More and more, it is a global connection that business has, global economy, so you can be anywhere and have a company, but that takes connectivity.
Now, the need is, and this is something we have been harping on this show since we started, the need to make sure incentives are in place for broadband providers to build in rural communities that have too often been overlooked.
Yep.
Hoorah! Because the previous administration, their view was if you didn't live in a major urban center, you were just one of the deplorables, and you didn't deserve to have internet. It seemed to be the attitude, that urban snobism. You know, I'm probably overstating it a bit, and I have friends who live in urban areas who, we Hicks need our we need our broadband too.
Well, the one thing here that might be a little disturbing that he's the new chairman of the FCC is into is that he had brought up plans to dismantle regulation such as net neutrality rules that were passed a couple of years ago. And that could be a bit problematic. But at the same time, a lot of the other things that he's saying, I think, are right on. Yeah. And it's all about the chance for opportunity to have better access to broadband everywhere.
I think that as long as and this is what oversight is for, and this is what people will vote with their dollars, and that, you know, is there potential for companies who want to, say, push out their movie service and restrict everybody else's movie service in favor of theirs? That could happen. But when they're caught at it, and there are plenty of people looking to see this, when they're caught at it, that's a PR nightmare for the Internet service
provider.
Not
only that, you could have it such that they're fined so that it becomes somewhat self-regulating.
Yeah.
That part of the net neutrality stays around in some form.
Yeah.
So
finally, as we get ready to wrap up this particular segment, great article from Mashable about, come on, people, put a lock on your phone. Still, according to the Pew Research Center.
Interesting statistics.
Yeah. Many Americans, 28% of respondents, don't even use the lock screen because it's apparently just too much trouble. The simplest way to protect your phone, either with the four-digit PIN, because if you fail X number of times, your phone bricks. The thumbprint, how long does it take to do a thumbprint? But apparently some people just find it too much trouble to do that.
Well, I have a bone to pick with the thumbprint, because if you've been in the dishpan and your skin is real soft, forget it.
But that's what you can enter the PIN for.
That's true. There's always the PIN there, yep.
And retinal scan or voice recognition, probably just around the corner in terms of being refined.
This is, you know, a lock screen. This article says, you know, add it to your phone. No, you don't have to add anything to your phone. They all come with this. Enable your lock screen. And here's a true life story. My boss lost his personal mini iPad on an airplane because it was stolen out of his gear. And because he had it all locked down, the thieves abandoned it somewhere, and the airline found it. And it had a cracked screen because they apparently vandalized it because they were so mad that they couldn't do it. But he had an app that said, if anybody tries to access this, you know, here's what you do. And it just, they were not going to get anywhere with this thing.
Yeah.
And that's because he had all of this security stuff in there. The lock screen activated the whole thing. And he got it back, actually. And now got to see whether he can fix the screen. But still, you know, it just goes to show that if you put these measures in place, people are not that interested in trying to pursue it. They'll go find another piece of equipment where the password has been 1234. You know, don't do that. You know, really read up on what good passcodes are.
I very recently came across a situation where an individual who I know had what I have to regard as one of the most easy to guess. It has to be on the top hacking list of passwords to check. Our recommendation for a good password: pick a phrase that means something to you or you and your significant other, write it down, capitalize some of the letters, and swap some of the letters for symbols, and you have a virtually uncrackable password.
Certainly difficult enough that they'll move on.
Yeah.
You know, whoever it is,
they will pick
have your device.
The bad guys will
hack
pick
your
the low-hanging fruit.
Yes, they will, because there's obviously plenty of it out there. Yeah. But to have no screen lock, folks, that really is not a good idea. Considering how many cell phones and tablet devices or electronic devices of that nature are lost every day, and they get left in a cab, you've left them in a restaurant. It happens. People don't pick up their phone or their tablet or whatever. If you don't have a screen lock on that thing, you're inviting somebody to go in and set it, so even if you get it back, you can't get into
right.
it.
Right. Or installing ransomware. Also, yes, I understand that updates are a pain in the butt and they interrupt your day.
There's a reason for them.
But catch up. Yeah, a lot of updates are to plug a security hole in your operating system. I don't recommend people adopt a new operating system update the very day it comes out, but you should do it
in
a fairly timely manner.
Yep.
And with that, this episode of Boomer Tech Radio comes to a close this hour. It's Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrom. The investigation is continuing into today's shooting at Paris's Orly Airport.
Bomb disposal experts are at the scene in order to check if the dead assailant was wearing an explosive vest. Landing aircraft are being kept away from terminal buildings, and travelers are being asked not to go to the airport.
BBC correspondent Hugh Schofield, the man, a 39-year-old Frenchman, tried to wrestle a rifle from a soldier when two other soldiers confronted him and tried to calm him down. He was eventually shot. Police say the man had a criminal record and was previously flagged for possible radicalism. G20 finance ministers are meeting in Germany, where they dropped a pledge to fully oppose trade protectionism amid pushback from the Trump administration, which wants to favor American companies and workers more. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says the Trump administration wants free trade, but to make sure that it's balanced.
As the largest global trader, balanced trade needs to be what's good for us and what's good for other people. It needs to be a win-win situation, and I'm confident we'll get to that.
In Michigan yesterday, authorities charged a man with attempted murder in the shooting of two Detroit police officers. Police Chief James Craig tells WXYZ-TV there's DNA evidence linking that man to the shooting in November of a Wayne State University police sergeant.
Whenever there's a forensic match, it's significant. But as I pointed out, it represents one part, not the total part.
The injuries suffered by the two officers aren't life-threatening, although one was shot in the neck. The government is asking a federal judge in Hawaii to clarify the scope of his order blocking President Trump's revised travel ban. And a plane that landed in New York's LaGuardia Airport late this morning got stuck in a snowdrift as it was turning off the runway and had to be pulled out by a tug. No one was injured in the incident. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrom.
Hugh Hewitt here for Relief Factor. I encourage you to give it a try. It's all about getting rid of the inflammation in your body. If you're tired of having your back just ache and ache, your ankles do the same, your toes throb, your knees rebel, then you need to go to ReliefFactor.com right now and give it a try. It is nature's pharmacy, packaged in an easy-to-use group of supplements that make all the difference in the world. Put down the Aleve, put down the ibuprofen, pick up ReliefFactor.com. Nature's got an apothecary of everything you need to fight inflammation. Don't take those over the counters. They're bad for you. You can't take them every single day. You can, however, take ReliefFactor.com. You'll find detailed product information at ReliefFactor.com, and you get your first order at $19.95. Watch and look at all of the listener testimonials that have come in. ReliefFactor.com wants you to give it a try. Learn more about the product and their three-week quick start for just $19.95. And come one day closer to inflammation-free living. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
A prison break south of the border. The son of leader of Mexico's Sinaloa drug cartel escaped from a low-level security jail along with four henchmen. We get the latest from reporter James Bleers.
The high-profile escapee is Juan José Esparragosa Monzon. His father, nicknamed Blue, has never been arrested and is a colleague of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, who's now in U.S. custody. Captured in January, Esparragosa Jr. was accused of coordinating cartel finances. He and the other four escaped on a visiting day. Authorities had tried to transfer him to a federal prison, but attorneys had launched appeals and injunctions to block this. James Blair's Mexico.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson in Beijing for his first face-to-face visit talks with Chinese leaders. He was in South Korea on Friday. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Thousands of college basketball fans that flew into Buffalo for early round NCAA tournament action landed squarely in the middle of New York's big debate over whether to permit Uber in upstate New York. Bob Agnew has details.
Both Uber and Lyft are banned outside of New York City. That leaves upstate New York as the largest area in the continental U.S. where the app-based companies are banned. A vote by state lawmakers to allow Uber and Lyft to expand into cities like Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse could be weeks away. Previous attempts to authorize the upstate expansion have come up short. Bob Agnew reporting.
Speaking of the tournament, West Virginia, the first team going to the Sweet 16. Javon Carter scored 24 points, and the Mountaineers beat Notre Dame 83-71. And North Carolina State hires UNC Wilmington's coach Kevin Keats to take over their basketball program. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing, Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Hello once again. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of the program. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are analog, living in a digital world. Goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and the tech news you can use. Here in Northern California, brought to you each and every week by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So if you want to get in touch with us, there's a couple of ways to do that. BoomerTechRadio@gmail.com, or you can follow along the magazine, the Flipboard magazine. Subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio magazine via Flipboard, or you can check out our website, boomertechradio.com, where you'll find show notes and past episodes. And coming soon, this program should be appearing on iTunes. So definitely looking forward to that. That's when you know you're hitting the big time. Yeah, I got a podcast on iTunes, along with the 30,000 other podcasts.
Well, yeah, and it's like you have to put yourself there. It's not like iTunes came along and said, great product, we want to put you on our lineup. It doesn't work that
way.
Well,
we somehow ended up on TuneIn. But,
yeah, I don't really know about that.
We don't know how that happened.
Apparently, it's up to date, too.
So we like to follow, we're not here to tell you how to fix your laptop. We may give you some tips. Time to time, but we will on occasion be here live on the air, but we're moving into more of a podcast format where we're not necessarily live, but we do like to hear back from our listeners, from our growing legions of listeners. Let's start off with this story
that would be micro legions.
Well,
you got to start somewhere, right?
Their names are legion.
The journey of 1,000 steps starts with the first step, or
yeah,
whatever.
Something like that. The journey of 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
Anyway, The chief executives of some of the world's leading private companies say no problem. They are, you know, they have no worries about their future. They're going to grow the company, recruit more staff, but actually they're a little bit underprepared for cyber attacks, according to a leading industry newsletter. 86% of CEOs were confident about their company's revenue prospects, but they aren't, and they're basically sort of a what me worry attitude when it comes to falling victim to cyber attacks. The report is based on responses from 781 private company CEOs. 41% of private company CEOs say they're not concerned about cyber threats. 68% were concerned about the speed of technological change. So they've got a system that works. The money is rolling in. Why rock the boat? Seems to be the attitude, right?
Right.
So
that's maybe not a great idea, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a company may think they don't have any information that the world wants. But maybe that's not what cyber... I don't know. What do you want to call them? Cyber attackers?
Yeah.
Are after necessarily. They might be looking for easy targets to put ransomware.
Yes.
On there, so that if, and you can't function without computers. I don't think there's many businesses today that can do that.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. So you have to have that stuff. So you're going to pay the ransom because you need your stuff back.
Yeah.
Which begs also being able to have decent, backups, but the problem is backups also need security.
Yeah.
So you know, and if the hacker's clever, they'll look for where that backup is and maybe can infect that as well. So how do you keep those two separate? It's a pain in the butt. It really is. I mean, it's a lot of work to have this, and it can be relatively expensive. You either have a staff member that's devoted to this, or you pay a service, or what have you. But more and more, it's becoming important that this be done.
And for companies to say that the, you know, their systems are foolproof, one need only point at, say, Yahoo and half a billion user accounts being exposed to the world and taken advantage of. And Yahoo's value went straight into the tank. Verizon had been planning to buy Yahoo, and that deal, I don't know where it is right now. We'll have to check the news on that. But it certainly cost them a big pile of money when the value of the stock, the value of the company went down because they had done such a poor job of protecting their intellectual property and their user database confidence. You know, they've just definitely left themselves in a big smelly spot.
Well, you know, for a lot of these things, especially larger companies or more well-known companies or certain types of business, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yes. So for a lot of companies, they get a sort of a sense of corporate arrogance. We're the best at what we do. We're always going to, you know, what we've got works. The money rolls in. So why invest any money in trying to change anything? And that's sort of what's happened to McDonald's. The Golden Arches are still considered to be the ninth most valuable company in the world. They are recognized worldwide. They're a great American success story, but they're still doing things a lot of the same way, and their market share is starting to diminish. And bringing out new products all the time doesn't seem to be helping. In fact, it just confuses the consumer. So obviously, what's the bottleneck for a company like McDonald's? It's the order, wait, pick up, go process, people preparing the food, things like that.
Well, there's, only so much that they can look at that they do where they could improve or change. This is true.
Every one of us has sat in the drive-through line behind the person who has no idea what they're trying to order. Well, I want – no, wait. I want the fries. No, wait. I want the hamburger. No, wait. I want
– I have actually heard that. It's like, seriously, people, why are you in the drive-through? You can do that in the restaurant, look over the menu, and do that instead of holding up all the traffic.
Right. So McDonald's is actually using an ordering app to reduce the transaction times, lower the errors, and this is a big thing, too. I don't know how many times we've stopped halfway out of the drive-thru and discovered that something didn't make it into the bag. And the other factor, of course, is that if you reduce the number of hands that have to be involved in the process, you're paying less people, you're paying less overtime.
Well, you may have fewer errors as well. Yeah. Workers' comp.
You're improving the customer experience.
Right.
There are burger flipping robots. And what do robots do? They do an identical task repeatedly, over and over, accurately, quickly. And they don't take smoke breaks or any other kind of break.
Yeah, the Labor Protection Board doesn't, you know, whoever it is that decides, you know, you can't work more than X number of hours without a break, right?
So, McDonald's testing the new ordering application in 29 stores in California. They're around Monterey and Salinas. McDonald's plans to expand the testing ground to Spokane, Washington. 51 restaurants in that area will get the upgrade.
51 McDonald's in
and around Spokane. Interesting.
Spokane is not that big. Okay, so that means they're going over to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and things like that. Yeah. That nearby areas, Spokane's kind of out in the middle of nowhere by itself. It's one of the biggest cities there. Hmm. Coeur d'Alene is also fairly big, but I can't imagine having 51 McDonald's in the greater area, but I suppose they must have that going on or they wouldn't say so.
Yeah.
You know, McDonald's gets some credit for modernizing, staying current with the times.
They're putting in tablets. We're seeing sort of more and more tablets in restaurants.
The thing about this is that if you are, you know, you don't read English or you don't speak English well you can touch the picture or you can have the app present to you in any number of languages.
Yes.
Absolutely. The one you're most comfortable with. Yes. And you just make the order, then the system can process that with no problem.
Yep. So you may have, instead of a 10 workers in the kitchen area, you may have three overseeing what the machinery is doing and making sure that everything, continues to move along. The whole idea of this app is that you order when you're on your way. You get there, you go in, you show the code on your phone to either the person at the counter or a scanner, and your bag drops into place. Just like going to the dry cleaner back in the day. You know, you show
the big wrap.
No ticky, no laundry.
Yeah. Number 622, dial it in and magically the whole rack would move and there's your sweater at 622. Yeah. And it's delivered right there. Yeah, I could see that. You know, here's your happy meal. You know, a couple problems with this whole setup is that when you have people in a restaurant, for instance, you have a certain neuroplasticity, I want to call it, when things go wrong. How do you stay in business and running? So if something breaks at one of these, they have to have a certain amount of redundancy. And they would anyway, probably. One machine's down for cleaning, the other is in use thing. So I'm sure they have to plan that. Otherwise, you end up with a bottleneck out the door, and it looks like the line of cars at In-N-Out Burger, only it's not moving like the car line at In-N-Out Burger does. And there is a company, for instance, that actually has that order in person and get you out of here model down to a science.
Right, and you're looking through the window at all the people in the identical white uniforms doing their thing. But they don't do a lot for me product wise, but their business model is extremely efficient, and they're doing it. They're popular.
You like them better than I do. In fact, they do nothing for me product wise. I don't spend any money anymore at In-N-Out Burger.
All right. So, by the way, if you are thinking of changing your tablet out, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper for this particular story. This is just a really – right now is a terrible time to think about buying an iPad.
Why is that?
Well, it's because the new models are probably not very far away. Apple hasn't yet actually made announcements about the 2017 product lineup. Likely to have an event sometime in the near future to announce new tablets and other goodies. Last year, of course, Apple announced the 9.7-inch iPad Pro and the new Apple Watches, then the iPhone SE on March 21st. But maybe this will be an off year. It's hard to say. But there are an awful lot of rumors about a revamped series of iPad Pros coming out. And Apple is, I'm using my iPad Pro for more things. For one thing, you notice that now, instead of having it look like a laptop, I have it looking like a gigantic phone because I have it at an upright platform.
By revamp, do they mean like redesign, new features, ergonomics, something like that?
Well, or Apple plays this stuff close.
Well, that's true. They like, ta-da, great unveiling, and everybody's like, so that's no great unveiling because the Mac rumors have had it right all along, right?
Yeah. Now, the big iPad, the 12-inch iPad Pro hasn't been selling because if you're going to have something that's got a 13-inch screen, you might as well have a laptop. I, because of my eyesight and because of certain applications we intend to use the iPad Pro, opted for the bigger screen real estate. But there are a lot of people like the 9-inch iPad Pro. There's an idea that the iPad Mini might be making a comeback as a pro version where you've got a fairly powerful device because the folks at Apple aren't stupid. They saw how popular the Note 7 was before it started doing things like bursting into flames.
A very powerful
7-inch screen device. That can be held in one hand, but packs an awful lot of power. Our single favorite device is still our, although I haven't used mine much lately, is our Amazon Kindle Fire HDs.
Well, the all-in-one. If I had to travel light and could only take one device with me in limited space, that's the one I would take.
Yeah. So it could be there's been an awful lot of reports of a 10.5-inch device in the Pro line. So that looks to be a fairly sure idea that it will be similar in size to the existing line of iPads, but the Pro level of memory and processing power. Right now, your iPads run from about $499 to about $1,200. So
depending on what is it they used to say, depending on features and models may vary.
Yeah. So a lot of anticipation about that. Now, there are reports that if they do a Mini Pro, which I shall name him Mini Me, if a Mini Pro does come out, it'll be priced right around $300, which I think for Apple would be a smart move to put something down in that more affordable price line because Apple's always had a lot of snob appeal. They have commanded very high prices for their products, and people have been willing to pay those prices. But they're taking a beating at the hands of like the new Samsung tablet, the new Galaxy 3 tablet, is beating up on them pretty good.
Well,
Surface.
That's genuine competition right there.
And the new Surface, now that Microsoft has actually figured out how to build a tablet, the new Surface line is giving them a run for their money. So it'll be interesting to see how
these things always come and go. You know, it waxes and wanes.
Yep. Speaking of product announcements, a lot of breath is being held with the impending arrival of the Galaxies. The Galaxy 8 and S8 Plus.
These always are treated like a movie, you know, the next Star Wars movie, the next Star Trek movie. It's due in a year and a half.
Yep.
Not quite that long, but as soon as you buy one, it's like, oh, well, you could wait for the next model. Yeah, right. If you did that, you would never buy any of them.
Right. Now, a lot of tech sites are talking about leaked images. Personally, I think that a lot of this, quote, leaked stuff is actually manufacturers intentionally letting stuff out to see how it plays, see what the reactions are, so that if they have to, they can make last-minute changes to designs or, in some cases, actually pull a model altogether and not lose face over putting a dog out on the streets, you know.
Yeah.
Pre-orders of the Galaxy 8 and S8, or Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus will start shipping out in Canada, and then it should go on sale in the U.S. around that same time. The Galaxy S7 series went on sale in 60 countries all on the same day last year. The S8 and S8 Plus, two of the most anticipated phones of the year. And then remember, we're talking about Samsung, who's taken a heck of a beating. So, but the Galaxy S7 has been a big winner for them.
Yep.
If they can... maintain that momentum and have another winner in the S8 series, that'll really secure their fortunes, because we really like our Galaxy S7s. They have been very, very good phones. And I will say, however, if you update to Nougat, be ready for kind of a learning curve on the operating system.
Yeah, there's
some changes. Are you getting used to Nougat?
You always get used to it. You know, sit down and do it when you have a little time to go in and do things like your contacts. You'll see how that works differently than before. At first, it's kind of annoying, and then you go, oh, if I do that, well, that's okay. Then, all right, I get it. But, you know, in some cases, there's extra screen taps you have to do, and it's like, seriously, did I need another scene screen tap to just do this task? Mm. That is a bit annoying, but new and improved is not always new and improved, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of the rumors? Have you heard anything about how the S8s are going to be different than the S7s?
They're expected to feature a curved infinity display. In other words, sort of like the edge.
So what?
The Snapdragon 835, which is a more powerful chipset, is actually as powerful as a desktop was just a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Fingerprint scanner on the back rather than on the home button, and they may actually do away with the home button. There's been rumors about getting rid of the headphone jack. I'm not seeing that necessarily. And a digital assistant called Bixby. So all these details will come up in about 2 weeks when Samsung officially launches.
So instead of, hey, Google, it's, yo, Bixby?
Yeah, something along those lines. By the way, remember in the show Westworld? Remember those really cool tablet phones they had that folded out kind of like an origami thing? And they were just and also the series.
Was sort of like a tablet and a phone in one?
And the Expanse. Those were really cool-looking tablet phones where they were sort of semi-transparent, and they would
those
fold
cool.
out as needed.
Yeah.
It looks like some companies are, according to an article in The Cult of Mac, several companies are working, including, again, Samsung. They're working on development for a fold-up smartphone. Now, what makes this possible is a organic LED display. You've heard us talk about these, where the display is so thin it can fold and actually wrap around something repeatedly and maintain connection. You can't do that with a glass screen.
Nope, that would be really tough. So you got to wonder, can you sit on these things and have them survive?
Yeah. So this could really give Samsung a big advantage over Apple. It would give you more screen space when you need it, but take up less space when you're putting it into a shirt or shirt pocket. Not too sure how it would handle being sat upon. Folding displays where if you've got it folded up, it like the size of a closed cover on a book, you can do some things. But when you open it up, you get more real estate, but you have functionality in either case.
Pretty interesting. The ever-evolving nature design features of our computer in a pocket, otherwise known as a smartphone.
While we're on the topic of smartphones, this is a real interesting story. Now, we've heard about remember it was big consternation just a couple of years ago when more people started using smartphones and cell phones and things like that, being able to make 911 calls to the dispatch centers from a smartphone, because up until just a couple of years ago, what automatically happened was you were routed to the California Highway Patrol because it was assumed that you were, in fact, mobile. More and more people, however, have traded in their landlines for their smartphones. So now the phones route to the dispatch center. Now, the thing about making a 911 call is that it would also give your location. So if you just dialed and had a dead line, they could dispatch an officer to the location to make sure that something was not amiss. From a cell phone, of course, that is in motion, the E911 systems have to send along the geolocation data along with the call. Well, there's apparently been some problems with T-Mobile, and in the last week, reportedly, this is an article that we're getting from Engadget. An infant and an adult male died as a result of 911 calls not being handled promptly.
Separate cases.
Yeah. According to Dallas Morning News, T-Mobile customer called 911. The phone continuously dialed 911. The call center registers as hangups. Of course, they can only handle a certain number of calls at a time. The call center had a backlog, and some critical life calls did not go through. So would the person have would the person maybe have died anyway? Possibly, but this certainly opens up T-Mobile to some big liability
issues. Well, in one case, there was a half-hour wait that the person was on hold. It's like, excuse me? Wait, can you hang up and dial again? What's the deal with that?
Yeah. The regional news station reported that this past Saturday, over 400 callers were on hold. This is calling 911. Callers were put on hold for an average of almost 40 minutes.
That's insane. To 911, who gets put on hold in 911?
You might as well be sending up smoke signals.
You might as well drive yourself or, you know, drive somebody to the hospital yourself.
So this really needs to be fixed, and we've got to find out where the bottleneck is. Now, T-Mobile says they have people, engineers on the job, staying in the city until they can figure out why their phones are apparently overloading the 911 system. But obviously a tragic situation down there.
This is one of the reasons that we speculate that the Amazon Echo and like devices are not able to be used as a phone
A phone system, yeah, because you've got liabilities. And if you say, you know, dial, you know, help me dial 911, you know, if how does the system determine if it's just, say, kids messing around or a random comment? How does the system know when to actually dial 911?
Right.
And if it dials 911 too easy, now you've got a liability for tying up police resources.
Right.
If it doesn't dial 911 when it needs to, now you've got a
potential problem like this.
Yeah, so it's a tricky engineering problem with no easy solution.
I'm sure they'll get it figured out eventually.
Boomer Tech Radio, I'm Bob. She's Brenda. Tech news you can use. More after this.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. And don't forget to add your favorite veggies. And if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook, at OrchardNutrition.com, or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Make March your lucky month and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino. Play our How Lucky Do You Feel Swipe to Win promotion. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Earn double entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Win free slot play, cash, prizes, or your share of $30,000 cash. Drawings Thursdays at 8 p.m. where you can win $555 every week in March. Lucky Five. Plus, we have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot. Unlimited entries all month long to increase your chances. Swipe for your chance to win a variety of prizes or your share of $30,000 cash. Imagine what you could do with extra cash in your pocket. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our How Lucky Do You Feel Swipe to Win promotion. And let us help you get lucky. 10 winners will be drawn to win $555 every week. Remember, more games, more ways to win, more fun. Wind River Resort and Casino. For details, log on to WindRiver.com. Your luck is better at the river.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Simpson University will prepare you to be a teacher in just 12 months. Start summer, fall, or spring and fill the need for the next generation of educators. Many Simpson students have landed teaching jobs before completing their credential program. We'll show you how you can accomplish this and receive an instructional iPad too. Simpson University offers scholarships, grants, and financial aid to help you achieve your educational goals. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON or go online to simpsonu.edu/credential for more details.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
We're back with Boomer Tech Radio. I'm just going to let that go.
That's vindictive. You're getting mad. You're getting even with me. You didn't tell me the mic was live yet. I just sneezed a little while ago, and I can't help it.
Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio, and we're having fun here. Bob and Brett are having more fun than we really ought to on a radio show or podcast. And I got to tell you that my wife here, my co-host, and person who keeps me on the straight and narrow path—okay, not quite that narrow—was sort of a pioneer. In fact, I have to tell this story proudly. About how down at the CES, you encountered a couple of women engineers in their 20s at the CES event, and they were at the Indiegogo booth, one of whom had a big purple streak in her hair. And these two gals were, I would say, in their early 20s, but they were both engineers, honest-to-goodness engineers. And you got to talking to them and talked about how you were a scientist. And they were like, you were like the tribal, well, don't take this the wrong way. You were almost like the tribal elder to them, the pioneer woman.
Well, I was.
But they didn't exactly revere you, but they showed a lot of respect towards you.
In my career, I've often been was often the first female on staff, a professional on staff. There were other women in the office, but not in the operations corps.
Right.
So I was the first female in operations.
Did anybody ever ask you to go get coffee for them?
If they had, I would have said, your legs aren't broken.
Yeah.
I think they very quickly figured out that I wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was often also the youngest person on staff.
Mm-hmm.
So the youngest person in operations and the first female, so that was always kind of interesting because they really didn't know what to do with me.
Yeah.
You know, this was some of them, it was forced upon them. They weren't sure that they liked it. And the Playboy girly magazine drawer was almost always in every station.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew where they were. And it's like, eh, well, you know, whatever.
That wouldn't fly now.
Oh, my gosh, no. I would say, where was I? Early 90s, that became very taboo.
Yeah.
But it was a standard thing in every station I was in. And some of the guys said, well, you know, does that bother you? I said, I don't want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't do it in front of me is all I have to say. And they didn't.
So Silicon Valley, for as forward, and of course, here we are. Silicon Valley, of course, is dead set against the administration of Donald Trump, saying that, you know, he takes us backwards into a culture of oppression and of minorities and this and that. However, Silicon Valley needs to look at their own dirty laundry before they start talking about the government administration.
They're being somewhat hypocritical.
That
apparently.
Bro culture that has dominated Silicon Valley companies makes the CEO of YouTube, Susan
Wojcicki.
Wojcicki. And we actually got that from her.
Is not how you would think to pronounce it unless you... you know, like Eastern European name, you know, Ukrainian or Czechoslovakian or something like that.
Polish.
That you know how to, yeah, Polish, the whole thing. How you would say it looking at it from an English point of view.
My name's Susan Wojcicki, and I'm used to responding to Susan W. blah, 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 because no one can ever say my name. In fact, when I was a kid, my mom had to send a note to the teacher telling her the correct way to pronounce my name since the teacher was mispronouncing it. But it's Wojcicki, and it's Polish, and that's my name. It's actually not that hard to say. It just looks hard when you see the spelling.
Exactly. So true.
Susan Wojcicki is very upset at the culture in Silicon Valley. She notes in an essay in Vanity Fair, the tech industry no stranger to allegations of explicit gender discrimination, harassment, bias. Recent examples she cited were former Uber engineer Susan Fowler's claims last month of institutionalized sexual harassment at the ride-hailing company, and a story involving a culture of pervasive harassment at Tesla.
You have this set for autoplay. That popped up by itself. Sorry.
Okay, that may have been a Chrome
thing. That was
thing.
In the story that's coming up. I did not initiate that.
You know, when you wave at it, it really doesn't pay much attention to you.
I killed it.
Anyway, this is something that as Brenda has said, she dealt with this culture, the guy culture. Tell you what, there's a power there on the top row. Look for the little speaker that has no waves next to it at all and press that. On the top row. Yeah, there you go. Now you've turned off the speaker. That's Mac 101 for you.
I actually do like this iPad. I mean, MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for you to get tired of it so I get this cast off, too. All right, back to the subject.
The big problem in Silicon Valley. Now, you notice I was not condescending to her because, woman, you don't know how to operate this stuff. No, this is unfamiliar technology.
Right. I don't swim around in the Apple world a lot. Certainly not in the laptop or desktop range. That's just not my thing. You have that because you have one of everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's – and I'm of a generation in my mid-50s where being a pioneer, not necessarily – I didn't set out to be a pioneer. I just followed along with what I wanted to do and – I will say that I did take on a job in the government sector because I knew that I would get paid the same as anybody else doing the job. And yet I had acquaintances in private industry where that still is not true, that there is not pay parity, pay equity there based on gender. And it's just a sad fact that that's just the, you know, that's how things are. And there is a bias that's out there. It's a cultural thing that somehow if you're different, that you are less capable. And women don't belong here, and that's where I've got that too. Oh, what are you doing here? You need to be home making babies and making room for some man to have this job to support his family. And that is no joke. I was told that. And I guess I get a little frustrated sometimes, though, on the flip side of this is why women are so intimidated by this. Because if you're in the position, somebody hired you to be there, you have skills, you have competency. Don't be afraid to have a little self-esteem that way and some self-confidence. The other side of that is just laugh at them.
Yeah.
Even if you don't feel like laughing at them really breaks the ice and sets folks off balance with these things. And I do the same thing when, hi, this is John from Microsoft, and you know you need to reboot your computer and let us in and so we can put malware on there. They don't tell you that part.
Yeah.
But Microsoft is never going to call you, right? So John from Microsoft, what do I start doing? I laugh.
Yeah.
And it really just sets them off balance. Because you're there, you're in that position, you know what you can do, and just go do it, girl. And there's no room in these environments for that culture of what are you doing here? You're not competent.
Right.
I'm likely to turn around and say, so what makes you competent?
Yeah.
I get sarcastic, or I just dish it right back out to them, you know. It is frustrating because sometimes it costs you promotions. There is still that element out there that does not believe that women or minorities of any kind should be involved in these things.
Yeah.
And that somehow because of just who they look like is therefore makes them less capable or something. And it is frustrating. And I don't know how you change it. I think you just change it by being very competent at what you do, being confident, producing. And if somebody tries to pull that stuff on you, you slap them right there and say, that is unacceptable. And guys need to say that's unacceptable.
Exactly.
Because there are many men who do not act like that. There are many, you know, and it works both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many people who do not act like that. I shouldn't say just men. That's gender specific.
Yeah.
That if you see behavior like that and it does not agree with you, speak up and say something that's unacceptable.
And
even though you're a third party.
Right. And this has to go all the way back to education. Right now, only about 10% of girl students are getting into STEM programs. That's way below where it needs to be.
Well, I don't know as it needs to be, and that is a tradition that comes from somewhere. In all of the highly technical fields, this is very common to see 10 to 15% in the engineering, hard science type curriculum that is what sifts out of it and ends up actually working in industry. Why is that? I don't know. You know, I don't have an opinion about this or anything, right? I'm being sarcastic there, of course. There's a cultural something that you're right needs to be examined and looked at because, you know, it used to be in the day that some jobs men were better suited for simply because they're physically stronger.
Right.
Period. And most men are physically stronger, right? But when it comes to a lot of the technology today in STEM, it's about your brain. It's not about your brawn. So there's parity there. And you're better off, quite frankly. I've seen this. I'm not a huge fan or don't work in diversity or anything like that, but you are better off with a spectrum of points of view.
Right.
And you know, something designed by committee can kind of be wonky, but most of the time you get a better product.
You get outside of the box.
People, exactly, because people, not everybody sees it the same way, and people will come up with great ideas.
Yeah.
So that's not really a tech story, but it is a tech story.
Yeah,
because it's based on experience, my experience in a technical field in hard science.
Now, along a similar
application
line here,
of hard science,
you've heard about this cultural problem in our military. This latest thing with the shared photos. Some of these photos were voluntary.
That's what I wondered about that part
of the
story.
Some of them were taken surreptitiously.
That's
evil.
But
a large number of these photos were
predatory.
Being passed around of female military members in salacious manners among a bunch of good old boys, if you will. A private Facebook group with 30,000 members targeted female Marines in non-consensual photos. Other toxic online communities have been shown up. The Marine United scandal, by no means an isolated incident. Several Instagram groups have now turned up. And
ladies, if you voluntarily do this, assume that that picture is going to get out to the broader world at some point somehow. It may not be in such a public thing. And if, guys, you're perpetuating this by belonging to this subscription or private Facebook thing or whatever, shame on you.
Yeah.
Do you want your sister, your mother, your daughter, your aunt, your cousin, your niece, would you want them to be one of these people? If you say no, then stop it, because these ladies are somebody's mother or sister or niece or granddaughter or something. They are. I mean, come on. Is it that bad in the military? I don't know. I wasn't there. And I know guys will be guys. I get that. From the point of view that this is the cultural point that I was making, and I got to quit here because that isn't what the show's all about. But that's my rant about using technology in that way. Please, stop it.
Yeah, and it's like kids feeling this pressure. If you're an adult and you feel the urge to share whatever with whomever,
but don't expect
if it's consenting adults, fine.
Don't expect it to not go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because this is happening all the time.
Revenge porn is a crime, but think before you snap pics of bits. You know, I'm not saying that from a prude standpoint. I'm saying that from a strictly protect yourself standpoint.
I'm certainly not a psychologist or anything like that, but both ends of the spectrum in this issue are harmed. Both ends are.
Mm-hmm. So, and some people can make the case that, oh, well, it's my free speech. Yeah, but if it can be used against you, what about that? Speaking of free speech, this is a little bit disturbing. Story comes to us from BBC News.
You're on a roll with the disturbing stories.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one, Pakistan has asked Facebook to help fight blasphemy as they see it.
As they define it.
Pakistan says it has asked Facebook to help investigate blasphemous content posted on its social network by Pakistanis. Facebook says they are sending a team to address the reservations about content on the social media site. According to the Interior Ministry, blasphemy is a highly sensitive and incendiary issue in Pakistan. However, critics say the blasphemy laws, which allow the death penalty in some cases, are often misused to oppress minorities. Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif voiced his support for a wide-ranging crackdown on blasphemous content on social media.
I'm in no position.
As an American who's a big fan of the First Amendment.
There you go. That's the angle that I was going to say. I'm in no position to comment on what Pakistan wants to do. That's their business. It's their country. All the more power to them. From an American perspective, where this country was founded on freedom of speech, freedom of religion. This is so antithetical to our mindset and our core history in this country. And I feel sorry for those people, actually, because that could be very dangerous for their personal safety.
So what it appears on the surface here is that the Pakistanis are asking Facebook to help them track down people who have said bad things about the government or bad things about Islam so that they can be hunted down and prosecuted under these blasphemy laws.
And what was Facebook's response?
Well, they say they're investigating it, but they also are saying that, where's the quote from Facebook? Interior Minister says all service providers should share all information about the people behind the content. Well, Facebook is saying that, we disclose information about terms of service and applicable law. So I think Facebook's going to – they have to walk a fine line here. It's like Apple or Google being strong-armed by our own FBI or CIA to disclose information about people who are deemed to be a problem. In this case, it's not necessarily a security threat. It's people saying stuff you don't like to hear.
Facebook has a choice.
Yeah.
They can simply choose to not serve Pakistan.
Yeah.
And yet there's a fine line for them as well, because that's a corporate a commentary on a government's actions. So it shows you how messy this globalization of things can get. It really does.
Yep.
That's a tough one.
Oh, let's see
here. I don't envy the people in Pakistan.
So Netflix, you can rate movies by number of stars, 1 through 5 stars.
Very handy, I think.
But apparently that is too complicated for some people. Netflix wants to swap the star ratings for either a thumbs up or a thumbs down, so you can be your very own Siskel and Ebert sort of person. And what they use is that if you really like the movie and you give it a thumbs up, you're more likely to see similar movies on your suggested viewing list.
They already do that.
Yeah.
Based on what you've watched.
Yeah, based on what you watch. But it weighs them more. If you watch a movie and then you give it a thumbs down, it pulls that off of the suggested viewing list. Similar movies.
Yes or no. Is it going to rain or not? You know, this is too simplistic for me. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the stars because if people really like it, then I know, that might be worth my time. If it's a dog... but maybe that's the where's the neutral zone? It was okay, but neutral.
Well, that's where you could do the one. Give it
a flat thumb.
Yeah.
They don't have such a thing.
Two or three stars is kind of like meh.
Yeah,
they need a meh button.
I can do 3 stars movies. Usually, if I get in the 2-star, I have to be in the right mood because you know there's going to be some goofy stuff in there, and you go, yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of. Movies.
Restaurants. If you give a thumbs up, thumbs down. No, I don't think so. I like Yelp where, you can give it a number of stars.
Google Home had a surprise for some of the users of the new virtual assistant in a little speaker. People who asked for weather and news as part of a daily briefing, Google Home popped in a commercial for Beauty and the Beast. By the way, Beauty and the Beast opens in theaters today, the smart speaker said. Company said that really wasn't an ad. Rather, it was an experiment running on the smart speaker. What's circulating online was a part of our My Day feature. We provide helpful information about your day. Sometimes we call out timely content. We're continuing to experiment with new ways to surface unique content for users, and we could have done better in this case.
So it was.
Some corporate doublespeak.
Yeah. So in other words, they made an announcement of a factual event, and people didn't like it.
Yeah.
What if they said free chocolate at See's Candy today?
Yeah.
Would the same reaction occur, or is it because it is the movie Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah.
Then there's apparently some controversy attached to that, which I haven't followed very well, but there's people that are upset by this movie. So is that why they were upset? Is because there's a movie that is controversial is being announced?
Well, I think the people felt like a commercial was being shoved down their throats.
Well, yeah, I have to admit that is annoying. News. Well, that's true. There's... But they could call that entertainment news. Yeah. So I don't know. I haven't heard it, so I guess I can't say much.
Of course, that the unveiling of the Google Home, the CEO said that the Google Assistant was – and here's classic corporate speak. Quote, an ambient experience that goes across devices. This is more than just phones. It will be on devices they wear, in their car, in their living rooms. The Google Home, which costs about $130, intended to compete with Amazon's Echo series of speakers. It'll do everything from providing information about weather, news, upcoming calendar events, and more, and handy for setting a timer on the dryer.
Yeah.
Which is what we use it for all the time. A couple of more things before we wrap up this hour. We have a friend who does on occasion, he's an entrepreneur. He's a world-known speaker. His name's Nick Webb. He's been on this program a couple of times, wrote a great book called The Innovation Playbook. He's also written a book called What Customers Crave. Great book if you are a business person. But he has been known to go to Dubai time to time. Well, I'm wondering if he's going to try one of these things. A driverless taxi. You thought Uber was a big deal, and you thought driverless cars were a big thing. How about a driverless taxi service being scheduled to launch this summer in Dubai? What could possibly go wrong with that? These are the autonomous flying drone helicopters, or quadcopters, actually, manufactured in China.
Sounds like a quadruple E ticket ride.
Yeah. They fit into a, basically a parking space when they're being charged up.
For a second, I thought you were going to say a suitcase.
No, the Ehang 184 has already been seen hovering in and around the city. They are electrically powered, so you don't have a gas engine pumping out stuff. They actually have 8 propellers on them, and they have a flight time of about 24 minutes. So, and when you're in the air, that's enough time. So what immediately comes to mind is, you know, the scene from Back to the Future when the DeLorean pops up in the 21st century and they're in the middle of a flying car lane?
Yeah.
This is what popped into my mind. Or the Star Wars movies on Coruscant when they have all the streams of flying cars.
Right, yeah, there's many sci-fi animations
Fifth Element. Those great scenes in Fifth Element with the lanes of flying cars.
These are the cutest little things. They have a little pod that you get in so you can stay out of the weather and the wind and mosquitoes, you know, that like to plaster themselves on your windshield or your car. Yeah. It'd be no different with an aircraft. I would imagine that if there's a failure and this thing actually has to crash, that they got to have some safety things built in, not the least of which was that the little pod would bounce, although your back may never be the same. But still, this is reality, people. Yeah. How cool is that? I'd go with one.
Give it a shot. Yeah, it could be the next big thing.
I don't really want to fly the airplane. I just want to go for the ride.
Yeah. It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. We want to thank you very much for listening to the program. And if you subscribe when we have the podcast out on iTunes, we're going to announce it. I want you to make sure to like that. Visit our webpage, boomertechradio.com. Bob and Brenda say, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Ron DeRostra. The government's asking a federal judge in Hawaii to clarify his order blocking President Trump's revised travel ban. Correspondent Ken Lorman has more from Washington.
A Justice Department motion asked the judge to clarify the scope of his temporary restraining order, arguing it should only apply to President Trump's temporary ban on travel from 6 mostly war-torn countries.
The Justice Department says the ruling should not apply to a section of Mr. Trump's executive order that temporarily suspends admission of refugees to the U.S. and caps the number of admitted this fiscal year to 50,000. Meanwhile, the president says the U.S. needs to be protected from what he calls radical Islamic terrorism. The president made his remarks in a joint press conference yesterday.